You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03. You made it to Friday afternoon, Valentine's Day, February 14th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. CNBC out with its valuations of NBA teams. We'll see where the Bulls rank in our next segment. But right now, on this Valentine's Day, we're here to help you in the world of romance. We'll look at some potential financial red flags that could pop up in a relationship. Let's take a closer look with Carolyn McClanahan, founder of Life Planning Partners in Jacksonville, Florida. Carolyn, thank you for joining us today. And I often joke that the Noon Business Hour should really be renamed the Noon Psychology Hour in many respects, because communication is key when it comes to handling your finances, and it really is key in all other facets of life. And this is a situation where your financial, your relationship with money and your relationship with your significant other, there's a lot of overlap between the two.
Oh, there absolutely is. And, you know, good relationships start off with transparency and people feeling comfortable talking to their potential life partner about money. If you don't start off on that good foot, you might not have very many good Valentine's days going forward.
Now, some of the red flags, there are five of them. And the reality is, I think, you know, honesty is the best policy. And the second thing is that honesty is there's just a lot less effort that goes into to being honest about your spending habits versus going through all sorts of manner of subterfuge, because red flag number one is being secretive about spending. And what are some signs that someone is spending on the sly?
Well, you know, when you're just dating somebody, it's sometimes hard to know for sure if they're doing things that they shouldn't. But once you're together more and you see how they spend money, you know, if they buy expensive purchases and you know they don't have a job that can support those purchases, you might want to ask about how do you pay for all this stuff? If you're in a serious relationship, or if it looks like they're opening new accounts all the time, you know, because people juggle credit card debt by moving it from one account to another, or, you know, just not wanting to talk about how they spend money at all.
And then two and three are frequently borrows money from friends and family. And this is a red flag that could probably be seen from space, and that is gambling and other risky habits. Now, we live in a world where gambling is legal. There are apps here, there, and everywhere that allow you to place all sorts of wagers and all sorts of sports. How do you talk through that in a relationship when it's legal and okay?
Well, you know, this is a challenge because gambling has become so easy now, and people don't realize how addictive it could be and how dangerous it can be to your pocketbook. And so many people, if they hit one, they try to make more, or if they lose big, they want to try to make it back. And so if you see that your potential partner has kind of glued to the screen on gambling all the time, that should be a red flag, and you should talk about it and have a conversation about how that gambling fits in with their bigger financial life picture.
And then using credit cards irresponsibly, another red flag. And then the last one is not being future oriented. And what is your definition of not being future oriented?
Well, that means not saving for the day that you don't have money coming in. Everybody should have an emergency fund. And it's, you know, to me, that should be a good conversation about money that every couple should have is, do you have an emergency fund? And if they don't, that's a red flag, because what happens if, you know, they hurt themselves, they can't work or can't do anything? And then to ask them, are you saving to your 401k? Do you put money aside for your future house purchases? And if not, that's a huge red flag.
Carolyn McClanahan, founder of Life Planning Partners in Jacksonville, Florida, talking about some relationship red flags when it comes to your finances. Look at it this way. We gave you a couple of conversation starters for your Valentine's Day dinner tonight.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The average NBA team is worth more than $4.5 billion. That's according to a valuation by CNBC. Let's see where the Bulls fall in the pecking order. We're joined by Julia Poe, Chicago Bulls reporter for the Tribune. Julia, thank you for joining us today. And even though the Bulls, they're having a lot of trouble on the court this season, and let's face it, for a lot of seasons in the last 10 years, but the Bulls are faring a lot better when it comes to team valuation, according to CNBC.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And I think, like you said, it's really interesting, this dichotomy between the staying power of the Chicago Bulls brand and kind of the reality of what life has looked like on the basketball court for this team over the last decade.
$5.8 billion, the fourth most valuable team in the NBA, according to CNBC's methodology. How much of this is just existing NBA business relationships, and how much of this Bulls valuation is wrapped up in nostalgia for Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of everything, right? You have to take into factors, factors such as the fact that, you know, Chicago is a major media market. Having a major NBA, NFL, et cetera, team in a city like Chicago, having real estate in a city like Chicago, that is always going to factor into these valuations. That's why you see large market teams typically skewing toward the top of this list, regardless of popularity or of how they're doing in the overall NBA. But a lot of this is just the holdover nostalgia of what the 90s Bulls and Michael Jordan meant to the NBA, to basketball, and especially to the brand of the league and the team internationally as well as nationally.
I was going to say, I mean, we talk about Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, but also in terms of turning the Bulls into a lucrative worldwide brand, how much credit does Tony Kukoc get in that equation?
I know. I mean, you look at it and it's just the entirety of kind of that international brand has been really important, where you have seen not just Kukoc, but, you know, Joakim Noah, a lot of these different players who are able to stretch that brand nationally. And that's why the Bulls, even when they aren't necessarily doing well in the standings, you still see them getting these international games like a few years ago when they went to Paris. That brand matters so much on an international basis that it really does not matter how the team is doing on the court. The Bulls are still the Bulls.
The issues that the Bulls and the White Sox and the Blackhawks are having with cable television carriage in the Chicago area are well known. CHSN still locked out of Comcast carriage in the Chicago area, and that's impacting fans' abilities to see the games, and I'm sure it's also impacting the team's bottom line as far as retransmission fees are concerned. Is that going to be an issue going forward? Is the slow motion collapse of the cable television sports revenue model?
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because, you know, obviously the valuation report is really interesting this week. I'm more interested in a Sports Business Journal report that came out yesterday that the Bulls have lost 63% of their viewership from last season on television. And that's obviously a direct reflection of this changeover to CHSN. A lot of folks are having a hard time, you know, figuring out the antenna, figuring out how to get, the new channel onto their cable package. And that has resulted, combined with the fact that the team is not performing well, in a steep drop-off, the steepest in the entire league. And I think when you look at that, when you look at attendance, the Bulls are still third in the league in attendance, but after trading away their biggest star in Zach LaVine, I don't think it would be surprising to see a steep drop off from that as well after the All-Star break. And I think that, you know, when you look at that up against, again, the dichotomy of this valuation, I don't think that the Bulls are in a position where ownership can just kind of look at that overall big picture and be content. There's a lot of things that really are seeming like they're kind of imploding and not working correctly in terms of the business model of this team.
It's interesting you mentioned that Sports Business Journal report about television audiences, the biggest winners and the biggest losers, and that is the biggest winner in that same study was the Portland Trail Blazers because they put their games on free TV and good old-fashioned broadcast television. And it seems like everything old is new again when it comes to how people experience live sports today.
Definitely. And I think, you know, that's going to be different mark to market. In Portland, the issue in the past was kind of reminiscent. I'm a USC graduate, and so I dealt with Pac-12 Network back in the day. Portland was kind of in a similar situation where they had this broadcast channel that was very difficult for fans to get to. So putting games onto the antenna and making it available that way was a really great way to make games accessible for a team that is trying to kind of start a rebuild. The Bulls were kind of the opposite side of that coin, where a lot of folks felt that NBC Sports Chicago was very accessible. They knew how to get to it. Bars knew how to get to it, et cetera. And so it was easy to get games. And now that extra complication, again, paired with a general apathy, just left fans really struggling to connect with this team.
Julia Poe, Chicago Bulls reporter for the Tribune. Thank you for joining us today to talk about the Bulls' latest valuation. Coming up next, the approach of spring has people thinking about a new car.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
If you're thinking about buying a new vehicle this spring, you'll want to start getting your homework done now. Let's get some help from Matt Jones, spokesman for True Car in Los Angeles. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And spring buying season is an especially busy time at the car dealership because you have a lot of people flush with cash from their income tax returns. So if you want to start wheeling, there's probably very little dealing to take place at if you're trying to buy a car this spring.
Yeah, and you're right. This is the time because those tax return checks are coming in and dealerships are getting prepped for it. But also with weather starting to lighten up and the first sale of the year, President's Day sale is like, you know, starts essentially tomorrow. This is the time. People are going to start coming out of their winter cocoons and start buying cars, and dealerships are ready for it.
Now, what can you expect when you are going out to buy a car, and what should you do to lay the groundwork ahead of time so that you're really prepared to pounce if you see something you like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what we got to consider is that more than 80% of people who buy cars, they use financing. And financing rates aren't great right now. So one of the first things that a person should do is consider understanding, like, what are they eligible for? I heard an ad earlier today where somebody was offering a 2.9% rate, and that's fantastic. But that's a particular rate on a particular car. Not all cars will have that. So the first thing to do is make sure that you know what you can, you know, what kind of rates you can get. And if you can't get good rates with great, you know, your credit's not right, start working on that immediately.
And then generally, if you're trying to get a car loan to buy some or all of a new vehicle, are you better off going through the dealer's financing department, or are you better off just going through your bank or a bank?
Well, you know what? I hate to say that, but the answer is yes. Both answers are accurate, because what's going to happen is a person may have a great relationship with their bank and they do their pre-qualification, which is what we always recommend. Always get pre-approved from your own bank or credit union when you're looking to buy a car. Have that pre-approval with your own bank or credit union in your pocket, ready to go. And then when you go to the dealership, they're going to run your credit anyway. It's part of the process of buying a car if you're purchasing something that's more than $10,000. And they will tell you what they can offer you. And in some cases, the dealership will be your own bank or credit union because they have a heavy incentive to sell the car. So the answer is actually both. Get your pre-approval with your own credit union or your own bank first, and then compare it to what the dealership offers you when you're there in person or remotely to buy the car.
And then generally, I mean, I know we've talked about how just the price of cars in general has gone up a great deal since the pandemic, and it's never really gone down. And
that's right.
Are there still cheap cars out there? I mean, is there does the 2025 equivalent of the Ford Tempo still exist?
No.
A new car that's cheap that will get you from point A to point B.
No, that thing is gone. What used to be, you know, pre-pandemic, we had cars that were in the $18,000-$19,000 range, and if you searched really hard, you might be able to find something new, you know, in the $16,000 range. I think the least expensive new car that a person could get right now is somewhere around $24,000, and the average is about $45,000. So yeah, that cheap new car is pretty much, you know, a thing of the past. But the good news is even though the cars are a little bit more expensive, they're becoming really, 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 really good. You know, in the $27,000-$28,000 range, if somebody's looking to get a sedan, they can get a Corolla or a Civic or something like that, and they're bigger and they're beefier and they're sturdier than what they have been in the past. Those cars that in those $27,000-$28,000 range are equivalent to what cars that were $34,000 were a couple years ago. So the cheapness, it's gone, and I don't think it's coming back, to be honest with you. But the things that are a little bit above entry, it's not terrible because they're really nice cars these days.
Matt Jones, spokesman for True Car in L.A., thank you for joining us today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A water main break in the northern suburbs is creating major traffic issues. California deals with floods in the aftermath of deadly wildfires. It's Entrepreneur Friday. We'll talk to award-winning chef Eric Williams of the Virtue Hospitality Group about their Black History Month observance. Retail sales fall sharply in January. We'll go inside the numbers. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 98 points. The NASDAQ is up 40. The S&P 500 is up 1.5. It's 22 degrees right now in Chicago under cloudy skies. Topping our news at the half hour, a water main break causing considerable problems for residents of Skokie this afternoon. It was first reported at 5:15 this morning at East Prairie and Emerson. It's been sending water into the freezing temperatures since then. A boil water order is in effect for people in Skokie, also in Evanston. WBBM's Neil Fiorito is in the traffic center with the latest on the street closures.
No, unfortunately, Rob, streams continue to flow in parts of Skokie with this water main break that happened early this morning. A massive mess in parts of the area, closing McCormick Boulevard between Gulf and Dempster. You also have church closed between Ewing and McDaniel in Evanston, and eastbound Gulf Road closed between Central Park and McCormick. We will keep you updated all day on this story. Neil Fiorito, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Heavy rain is falling in Southern California, creating a deluge of water and mud on roads at the bottom of hillsides left barren by recent wildfires. Evacuations have been ordered in some areas of Los Angeles. CBS's Nicole Comstock reports from San Bernardino County.
There are neighborhoods here that they have roadblocks set up, and they're only letting people through who live in those neighborhoods. And as we were just up the street, they continue to shut down other streets where they're concerned they could see more flooding. So everyone being urged to take evacuation orders seriously if you get them. And also, even if you're not under a mandatory evacuation order, you really have to just pay attention to what's going on.
Meteorologists expect as much as 6 inches of rain in the mountains and 3 inches in coastal areas and valleys before the system moves out later today. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed. Joining us with the latest on what's moving Wall Street is Jeff Kilburg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And you can't really stop the markets, can you? This was a week of elevated inflation reports and a lower-than-expected retail sales number, and yet equities keep chugging along.
It's remarkable, Rob, and as cold as in Chicago, the markets are hot. We saw the S&P 500 put in a new all-time high yet again today. And to your point, we are sidestepping the uptick in inflation. As we know, inflation never got to the Fed's 2% target, and here it is back up nearly at 3%. So that is a concern, but we're finding a way to sidestep it. Additionally, you're seeing the tariffs, the tariff conversation, or the threat of tariffs, I should say, Rob. Those are being pushed back because we don't think they'll be implemented anytime soon. It's been more of a negotiation tool. So everything that was a headwind for the market is finding a way to overcome and become bullish. And that's where you're seeing the VIX down at 14, the S&P 500. And last but not least, you are seeing just a parabolic move in Facebook, in Meta. It's had 20 consecutive days of being straight up. We have not seen that in the S&P 500 in nearly 30 years. So there's a couple of weird things going on that's making my spidey senses go up a little bit, Rob.
Now, that's a very good point you make about Meta. And on one hand, you could say, you could trace this all to Mark Zuckerberg having primo seats at the indoor inauguration at the end of January, and you can make bets on Meta having a good relationship with the government. But some analysts have said that there's really the prospects of growth at Meta just aren't there compared to other tech companies, that Facebook probably matured, Instagram probably matured, and with TikTok still in the game, it doesn't have the ability to make that next move in the video space.
It is perplexing. I think you're absolutely right. And to see Elon Musk, Tesla move down about 30% in the last week or two, I wonder if that cage match fight between Zuckerberg and Elon Musk will come back on. But you're right. We are seeing the frenemy. You know, he was a friend of the Biden administration, now become a friend of the Trump administration. And that's bode well. But today, Meta came out and said they are moving into robotics, which is exact competition and threat to Tesla. So I think there's some volatility ahead. But I just look at my career for the last 25 years, Rob, you're seeing the 10-year note still elevated at 4.5%. Gold just hit a new all-time high above, you know, 29.50, knocking on 3,000. And then you're seeing these really idiosyncratic moves in some of these tech names. But by and large, the Mag 7 names, it's been bifurcated. You've seen some move lower in Google, Microsoft, but Meta, it's a moonshot, and I think you have to fade it here, or at least trim some of your position. I've owned it since the IPO, so I'm excited about it, but too much too fast. I've read this chapter before, Rob.
It also seems like investors see what they want to see out of the numbers coming out this week. And
that's a great point. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And what investors are hearing and seeing is that we're going to spend more on capital expenditure. We're seeing the Mag 7 spend over $300 billion on AI, on building out the AI. At some point, investors are going to scrutinize that spend because it may not return on the investment. So right now, we're still in the honeymoon. AI, AI, it's all you hear everywhere you go. But at some point, that will be scrutinized. And if you can't get a return on your investment, that's when the Mag 7, in my opinion, comes back down to at least our stratosphere here on Earth.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, carving out a bigger slice of the Chicago restaurant pie.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and this afternoon we're checking in with Chef Eric Williams, chef and owner of Virtue Hospitality Group, the flagship location Virtue. You can find it at 53rd and Harper in the Hyde Park neighborhood. Chef, thank you for joining us today. And this is must be a great way to start off 2025 because Virtue was recently ranked among Yelp's top 100 places to eat in 2025. So just a great way to start the year.
It is a great way to start the year, and thank you guys so much for having me on.
Now, the Virtue opened in 2018. Before that, you were the executive chef and partner at MK, the restaurant, before it closed down. And at this point in your career, are you still like in the kitchen every night, sweating over every meal, or have you kind of pulled back and you're now taking the view from 35,000 feet?
Well, I wouldn't exactly say 35,000 feet. We've got Cantina Rosa, which is next door. That's been open about 8 weeks. We have Daisy's Po' Boy and Tavern, which is right across the street from both of our concepts. And we have Mustard Seed Takeout Kitchen and Top This Mac and Cheese, which is on Wabash and Cermak Road. So I have my fair share of work to do both at the stoves and in the offices.
And coming up on February 22nd, you're hosting this one-night-only dinner celebrating Black History Month. Tell us a little bit about this event and the story you're trying to tell.
Well, we have Chef Alexander Smalls and his co-author coming into town on February 22nd. And Alexander Smalls just wrote a really brilliant book about African food and inviting people to bring African food into their homes in a format that works. And the reality is this guy is the only chef, not just Black chef, but only chef to have both a Tony, Grammy, and a James Beard Award.
Now, I'm trying to figure where does that fit into EGOT? Maybe it's an EGOB or something like that. But that's a remarkable amount of hardware to have. And when people want, I think everybody has the dream of owning a restaurant at one time or the other. And whenever you talk to a chef, whenever I talk to a chef, just the number of hours that you put into just keeping the restaurant going. I mean, going home at 2 o'clock in the morning after cleaning everything up, that really kind of separates the wannabes from the people who are really committed to the craft, doesn't it?
Yeah. Were you following me around last night?
I'll never tell, Chef. And I think also, we talk about stories to tell. Restaurants tell their own story and in the cuisine that they serve. And it's kind of appropriate that you're in Hyde Park, in the shadow of the Illinois Central Railroad tracks, because that was the means by which hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, Black families from the South came to Chicago to chase their dreams here and brought their culinary traditions with them. And they all took root in the city.
That is absolutely right. So part of what we do is tell the story of the food that came here via the South through the Great Migration. So we cook Southern food, and many times we're inspired by the African diaspora.
And that is showing up in so many different places, like just in the brands under your umbrella. I mean, from po' boys to mac and cheese to mustard seed. I mean, when you try to come up with a new idea for a particular restaurant or somebody wants to pick your brain, how much thought goes into zeroing in on a certain type of cooking and then making sure you can build a narrative around it?
Well, we spend a lot of time in innovation and thinking about what foods we want to produce and offer. We also think about culture and the historic context of how culture can be expanded in community, through community, and by community. And so for a great example of that is Cantina Rosa, where we wanted to really take a deep dive into agave spirits and Mexican spirits as a whole. And so that's what was the backdrop behind the delicious flavors that are served at that bar.
Chef Eric Williams, chef and owner of Virtue Hospitality Group. Thank you for joining us today on Entrepreneur Friday, and then February 22nd, Virtue Restaurant at 53rd and Harper in Hyde Park, hosting that one-night-only dinner celebrating Black History Month. Go to Open Table and make your reservation.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Retail sales dipped last month, signaling a potential economic slowdown as consumer spending fell sharply from December's gains. However, the underlying data may not be as dire as the headline numbers suggest. Joining us to explain is Bob Phibbs, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York. Find him online, theretaildoc.com. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And when we look at these January retail sales numbers, how much can you attribute the drop-off to climate, a cold winter, and just the wildfire disaster in Southern California?
Oh my gosh, I didn't know there were that many factors we had to put in here, Rob. But it's kind of a faulty analysis because it's looking at month over month seasonally adjusted data, which really isn't what we normally look at. Actually, the year has opened pretty strongly with year-over-year growth of 4.8% in total sales, excluding gas, auto, and food service. And yeah, there's some evidence that people may have pulled forward some bigger ticket items. But for the past, I just need to get this out, sorry. For the past 33 years, on average, December to January has dropped 28%, and this year it's only 21%. So I don't think, it's like we read the U.S. Department of Commerce Census Bureau, which is not sentiment, it's actually what's going on in the economy. So I think it's great. I mean, this is something everybody should be excited about, that it's a strong start, and consumers are still doing everything that the economists think they won't, which is to go out and spend in a retail store, especially here on Valentine's Day, my friend.
And then putting that into context, if the drop-off is less than previous years, and you also do have to factor in the wildfire disaster in Southern California, because Los Angeles is a major market, and you do have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who were following evacuation orders. They weren't going to the store. So that also, you factor that into your analysis that maybe it's even stronger than you were talking about.
Exactly, my friend. Let's face it. A lot of people like to say the sky is falling, especially with retail. It's an old saw people can pull out and they find some lens to put on it. The reality is we're in pretty good shape here right now, you know, in spite of the chaos going on in Washington right now, which isn't going to show up. Tariffs and all that stuff isn't going to show up at the end of the year. But most importantly, the consumer is out there. No matter what people say, they're not. They are out there and better than we would have expected.
Bob Phibbs, CEO of The Retail Doctor based in New York. Thank you for joining us today.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.